Good morning. We believe in our church that God is good. And that all the time. That's actually an African greeting when they begin worship. Actually, anytime they hear that God is good, they come out with that. And we have a guest speaker who is a part half-time mission. She has spent about half of her life since 2006 in Liberia with her husband Danny, who is a medical doctor, dear friend, who's going to bring the message this morning. You're in for a big treat. A few quick announcements. Wanted to let you know that you all had oversubscribed our blue bus, and we actually bought a blue bus this past week, and we thought we'd show you a picture. It's actually, it's really exciting. So for those of you who are visiting or new, our bus goes out into Cleveland. You'll notice it's not blue, but we're going to paint that. We're going to get our rollers out and paint this thing and make it our blue bus. But it goes into Cleveland, and we're going to try to hope to build a second night into the offering where we go out and build relationships and serve food and care for people through a blue bus ministry. It's an amazing thing. We're so grateful to God through his people and what you all have done with the Lord. Secondly, wanted to offer just a quick word about, we had a training with almost 60 people this past weekend for Royal Family Camp. The budget is set. The people are together and in place, and we'll have our first camp. We actually have 11 campers already signed up, and we're going to have a waiting list by the time we're done. We're thrilled about the progress of taking foster children to a summer camp with our own church family this coming summer. Third, wanted to let you know about National Day of Prayer. That happens this Thursday. There will be churches from all around our nation gathering to incline our hearts to God, and we wanted to remind you the sanctuary will be open all day from 7 o'clock on, and then in the evening at 7 o'clock, there will be a prayer service. We welcome you to join millions of other Christians to pray for our country and for the world. So I found the perfect Bible verse to begin worship this morning. You ready for this? It comes from the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon's. It's kind of racy if you read it at home, I'm just saying. It goes like this. The winter is over. The storm is past. The flowers are blooming. Come, my beloved, says God to his people. Come. It's time to worship. Good morning again. Wanted to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Kathy DeCreedy is an ordained clergy person in our annual conference in East Ohio. She serves part-time at the Mentor United Methodist Church, but her day job, like her big job, is that she was commissioned and offered the job from our bishop to be what we call a missioner who casts a vision for the three C's of the bishop: clinics, classrooms, and churches. And she travels around the world some, but mostly her heart belongs in Liberia. She's lived more than half of her life there since 2006 with her husband, who's a medical doctor. They help run Camp 4 Clinic, which is a United Methodist classroom clinic church there. Over the last calendar year, in 2014, this church alone gave extra gifts to Liberia of over $14,000. For classrooms, for the healing of people, for the development of teachers, and to pay teachers' salaries. It's amazing what's happening in Liberia. And just a really quick story is, well, maybe a word and then a quick story to introduce Kathy. Our bishop says that Kathy is a great excuse for human cloning. He wishes we had a whole bunch more. Her energy and love for Christ has helped to develop programs and bring literally over 100 people from East Ohio to Liberia to help build relationships and help to not only hear their story, but to share some of ours. When her dad passed away, just not too very long ago, and in the average salary of our school teacher is about $100 a month, which puts them in the upper middle class of Liberia, they gathered an offering in that school for Kathy, and they wanted to buy a tombstone for her dad. And they literally gave Kathy's family several years' worth of annual salaries so that they could bless her life in this way, because they love her. They said they did it because she's their mother and their daughter and their sister and their friend. Most of all, she is in Christ their lover. Kathy, if you would, please. Would you welcome her, please?
It's really good to be with you, and I thank you for this opportunity. I told Dave to tug at my dress if I start to go too long to get you all out of here on time. But it's just so good to be with you and to come and say thank you and to see what's going on here at Strongsville United Methodist Church and to be with friends that I've traveled to Liberia with and to tell you some stories about them. But the first story I want to tell you about is found in the scriptures of the New Testament in the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and it happens to be the lectionary scripture for the day, so it was easy to tell Dave what we would be talking about. It's when Philip encounters the Ethiopian eunuch in the early church in the book of Acts. And this is what it says. It says, "The angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a wilderness road, the scripture says. And so he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace Queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. But because he was a eunuch, a little explanation, he wasn't allowed to go into worship because he wasn't sexually pure. And so he was returning home, not having gone into the service. And seated in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." And so Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to sit in and join him in his chariot. And the passage of scripture that he was reading says this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say? About himself or someone else?" Who was the scripture talking about? Jesus, yeah. And then Philip began to speak and start telling him about Jesus. With the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about who Jesus Christ was. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" the eunuch said. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went away rejoicing. And Philip found himself traveling and proclaiming the good news to all the towns that he visited from that point on. The word of God for the people of God. Today, I'm going to talk about that scripture, and I invite you to remember a time in your life when you really began to understand what faith was all about. When something clicked inside of you and something changed, when the light bulb went on above your head and in your heart, and you really began to understand that God was for you. For some of us, it's been this ongoing journey of faith since the childhood. For others, this journey with Christ is a new adventure. Or do you remember a time in your life when you began to be used by God? When you felt like, yep, this is what I was created to do. Maybe it was being a parent and the birth of that child. Maybe it was serving at the soup kitchen or going on a youth mission trip or helping the elderly, or maybe right now as you're training and preparing for Royal Family Kids Camp. The time when you and God were on the same page, when your moment was God's moment, when his plan for your life collided with what was happening in your life. Have you ever experienced that? Today in the scriptures, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip do. They know that this, what this looked like, what this feels like, and how it happens. When God shows up through relationships, when God shows up because we spend time with one another. This relationship that I began in Liberia began long before I even knew Bishop Hopkins, when he was in relationship with Bishop Innes of the Liberia Annual Conference, and they sat with each other and knew each other and were in a relationship together that invited us not to go and raise a bunch of money for Liberia, but to go and meet people in Liberia and encounter those relationships. The Ethiopian believes and understands Jesus more clearly when Philip sits with him and explains life and plans that God has for his life. Let's remember, though, that Philip's been chosen as one of the seven deacons who would take care of the poor while other people preached the kingdom building. Philip was busy in the early church, preaching and performing miracles, healing people, and helping people change their lives and move towards God and away from the ways of the world. It was a dangerous time for him to be traveling. This was in the book of Acts before Saul was converted to Paul. Saul was still, it says in the early chapter 8, that he was out there persecuting Christians, hunting them down, gathering them to jail, killing them and persecuting them. So it was a dangerous time for Philip to set out and travel down that desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, a road that many people still don't want to travel today. You see, it seems like God has always been about expanding our comfort zones and calling Christ followers to go into new areas and new parts of the world. Recently, we traveled back to Liberia. You see the Ebola sign there. It was perceived to be a dangerous time to travel, a time to go during this Ebola crisis. But we didn't go right away. We traveled there over Easter. Don't worry, I've been in quarantine for 21 days. Probably it's been about 25, 26. This is my first time out to worship since all of that, Easter Sunday in Liberia. But we're not contagious. But just like in the scriptures today, it was this dangerous time for many to travel. The Ebola outbreak began some time ago, about 2 years ago now, but didn't come to Monrovia until June of last year. Just when we had East Ohio had two UMVIM teams prepared to travel there. Some of those teams went, but they just stayed at Camphor where Ebola had not reached. They didn't travel to Monrovia, and they were able to go and to bear witness to what was happening there. So what did East Ohio do besides sending some volunteers? In August of last year, we packed some medical supplies that we got from the MedWish organization here in Cleveland, and we sent needed boundary gear, gloves and masks and gowns to Liberia and to Sierra Leone. We ended up having to cancel the rest of our trips, though, for 2014 until the Ebola crisis died down, which it has in Liberia. School is back open in Sierra Leone. They just opened school recently as well. But we have been sending funds. When we didn't send UMVIM teams, we took that money we would have paid for leaders to go, and we donated it to communities for food and medical supplies that they could get on site, cleaning supplies like buckets and bleach to prevent the Ebola crisis. One of our past volunteers, Teresa, had a dream one night, and she emailed me about it, and I said, go for it in your church. She dreamed about a rice bucket challenge. Instead of the ALS ice bucket challenge, let's fill up buckets full of rice for people in Liberia. And her church raised over $8,000, and we took it worldwide and conference-wide and raised over $30,000 for missions during this Ebola crisis for rice. Today we encounter Philip, an Ethiopian, a Philip and an obedient and faithful Christian who has an experience with an Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus wants us to study God's word and know more about him, like the Ethiopian reading and studying the scriptures, knowing our stories of the past and how to live into the future. And then Jesus wants us to sit with each other, to respond to the needs of the world, sending us out for relationships and service, sharing and interpreting the word of hope for life for each other. Wesley talked about this as social holiness and personal holiness, growing in faith so that we can go out and transform the world. The Spirit is working in Philip's life and wants to work in each and every one of our lives. We can see it through the obedience in Philip. He moves out to Jerusalem to move alongside someone, to move toward faith and conversion. How did East Ohio respond to this partnership and relationship building. We send visitors. This is Pride Bass, next to the sign advertising his church where his grandfather had been the preacher. Pride grew up in this town, Harrisburg, Liberia, and now lives in Cleveland here, but continues to lead groups back to the Farmer to Farmer Project in Liberia, where he is from. This is the sign on your right is the old church sign with paper and crayons. And now this is the sign that greets you at the road as you turn into the church with a rebuilt church because East Ohio sent funds long ago to rebuild it. We have choirs. This is Easter Sunday at the Harrisburg United Methodist, St. John United Methodist Church. This is a sewing project that began last year and is now completed with sewing happening in it. They were modeling the dresses that they've sewn there in that bottom picture and the shirt that they made for my husband to gift to him on Easter Sunday that day. Projects that started when we were there and finished while we were away during this Ebola time. When we were collecting money for rice, Pride, the Liberian man among us, understands that he doesn't want to just give food. He doesn't want to just give money. He wants people to do something and take pride in what they're doing. And so this field that was prayed over for the Farmer to Farmer Project 2 years ago when Dave was there began a work for food program during the Ebola crisis. You can come and plant cassava and we'll give you money to eat and we'll give you food for rice. And so now we go back, and while we are away, there's cassava planted for as far as you can see, that they won't need us the next time that there's a crisis. They'll have food for themselves as they prepare a way. You sent visitors. Not only did East Ohio send visitors, but more specifically, Strongsville United Methodist helped to send visitors. Amber went for a second time with her dad, leading the way down the road to visit a village. Dan pestled palm oil and hiked through the village and preached in the church. But what he really went there to do is build relationship with teachers and do some teacher training, as he's a professional teacher here in the Cleveland area and was building relationships with our teachers there. Amber went to love on kids and build relationship and represent you, Strongsville United Methodist Church, as she did her work of ministry there. You sent Ron Bakeman to go and teach kids how to use tools, to give them pride and give them hope, give them somebody to care about, to color with them on their picnic tables, and then to receive and take sponsorships of students to pay scholarship fees. I think it was late in the visit when Ron, though, really lit up, when he went to the boys' dormitory to begin reading them stories at night and praying with them, and began to understand what God was calling him to do in Liberia. And you sent Brian Sheets from your congregation, the East Ohio Foundation, where he works, financially sent him there, but you sent him with your prayers as he represented not only the annual conference, but this church, playing with kids, bearing witness to the Farmer to Farmer program. That's not him on the tractor. hiking out to villages and being with people in the midst of their lives. Your pastor, too, traveled there before he traveled to you. Dave carried rice on his head to surrounding villages to bless a family there. He sat with people and preached in remote villages with nearby people. But I come to say, most of all, thank you. Thank you for sending visitors to sit in chariots with people in Liberia. Thank you for rice and for salary support, for the investment of hope in agriculture and scholarships, for sending visitors, for providing hope when there was no hope. Do you remember a time in your life when you believed, when you really understood that Jesus was for you, the way the Ethiopian eunuch did that day? When you spent time with God, when you spent some time with someone else and you began to understand the mysteries of faith. Do you remember a time in your life when you were used by God? Ron, when you began reading to those boys in the dorm and you wanted to come back. When God used you to be a blessing with children. When God used you right here in Northeast Ohio. When Philip was obedient to God's calling him to go down that dangerous road from Jerusalem to Gaza, Philip was being used by God. He knew that his life mattered, that it had a purpose, and that it was a part of this mystery of faith and this time of blessing. Today we talk about missions in the world. This weekend, many of you have been training for this new adventure of Royal Family Kids Camp, a camp for foster kids that your church is taking on this year. This week, we've all been watching and listening and reading about the riots and the peace marches in Baltimore, the conversation about race, the conflict between communities and law enforcement. Today, we live in a time when the needs of our own country and communities can overwhelm us. And we wonder, as Christ followers, what are we to do? As a United Methodist concerned about social holiness and justice and a society that is broken, that needs to be made whole, what are we to do and how are we to respond? We need to read our Bible with a new source in another other hand. We need to pray and we need to act. We need to listen to someone different from us. We need to reflect on what they have to say. We need to learn and be silent. And perhaps we need to be changed. We need to know what Jesus did so that we can do what Jesus would do. We need to expand our comfort zone right here in Northeast Ohio and get involved in what you're passionate about. And we need to remember that as Christ followers, we're people of a great hope and people of a great strength, that we are not people of fear and anger and weakness. Reverend Moore Koikoi is the district superintendent in the Baltimore area of the United Methodist Church. This week, she responds with these words. What's needed next is for churches to connect with the community in ways that the community sees the church as a resource and not just as a property owner in their community. It's about relationships, she says, and we are all in this together. She says it's about being afraid and marching anyway. She says this is God's work. And if we're not willing to do this, then who are we? You have a bus. You have a prayer ministry coming up this week to pray for the world, for the community, to pray for your own life. You have you. And you have a Holy Spirit that resides inside of you and is craving and desiring and clamoring to get out and to work in your life in ways that you have never imagined or thought possible. The Holy Spirit is saying, get out of my way. Let me show you. You've been invited to be used by God, to go down roads that take risks, that involved Ebola at one time, to go down roads to encounter God, all of God's children at Royal Family Kids Camp, and to give generously and sacrificially in ways in our time and our finances. Mary Zigbu, a United Methodist missionary in Liberia, recently wrote about missions, and this is what she says. From Isaiah 49:16, it says, look, I've inscribed you in the palm of my hands, God said. Your walls are forever before me. And she writes, this passage from Isaiah assures us that we are safe in God's hands. To me, the work of missions, she says, is like a remarkable safety net for God's people. Those who are at risk of falling through the cracks are rescued by the safety nets provided through the response to missions. Your response to missions, Strongsville United Methodist Church. One last chariot story from Camp for Mission. When Ebola arrived in Liberia, I just wanted to go there. You know, when your family member's sick, you just want to go and sit with them and be present. Care for them, love them, let them know they're not alone, and give them some hope. But I couldn't go right away. I needed to wait. So in late March, early April, my husband and I, in Pride Bass from Harrisburg, traveled back to Liberia. We didn't have a big agenda, just wanted to meet with people and talk with people. Visited the three ministry sites in Ganta, Farmer to Farmer, and in Camp for Mission. And on Thursday, our last day at Camp for Mission, Danny and I were running around trying to get some things done, seeing all the people we needed to see before we got back on a plane. And we were passing by the school about 2:30 in the afternoon. All the students were gone. And some of the teachers, three or four of them, were sitting up at the entrance, catching the cool breeze of the day and just talking to each other. I said to my husband, "Do you mind if I just stay down here instead of go up to the guest house?" He said, "No, go ahead." So I just sat in a desk chair, in a chariot, with three or four friends. Others started to join us. We laughed and joked with each other, ribbed each other, shared stories, just were present with each other. They asked me about the past visitors that they were curious about and wanted to hear stories about, wanted to know how they were. And we just sat and shared life together, sitting in the chariot with each other, providing hope, providing a way when there was no way, being blessed by my expanded comfort zone in this family that is mine through faith. Being in a moment when my life and God's plans for my life collided, when it felt so good and so right. This safety net of missions, when we're catching and holding on to each other. Praise God. Amen.